5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now we're extending that same happy Monday to David Drucker. He's a senior political correspondent for the Washington Examiner. He joins us this morning. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so a lot happening this weekend. The President of the United States has finally broken his Twitter silence, by the way, to promote his lawyer's media appearances, Jay Sekulow. He was appearing all weekend long on the Sunday shows, arguing that the president's not even under investigation. Break this down for us.
Well, look, this all stems from the president's tweet on Friday in which he appeared to say or appeared to confirm that he is under federal investigation. The president didn't really argue with the tweet in the immediate, but you know, over the ensuing hours and days, that his legal team has been busy pushing back, saying that that's not what the president meant when he complained in the tweet that he's under investigation for doing exactly what the Justice Department recommended that he do. Jay Sekulow, who's a very capable attorney, has gotten himself into a little bit of a rhetorical dance by, in some cases, saying that the president is but couldn't be. They've had a very difficult time as they've tried to explain that the president isn't under investigation, but even if he was, he couldn't be because he didn't do anything wrong. So it just had a very difficult time, and it all, as usual, stems from, you know, what I like to say is one tweet far. I mean, you can debate the president's tweets. Some believe it helps him, and there is some evidence to that. Some believe it hurts him. There's evidence to that. Usually, since he's become president, there's a case where he gets a little bit over his skis at some point and gets himself into a little bit of hot water. The only reason we're discussing this, regardless of what the facts are, is because of his tweet.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to just switch gears here just a little bit because there's so much we wanted to talk to you about. The race in Georgia, I know you wrote a piece about this with John Ossoff running against Handel here, Handel being the Republican. It is the most expensive race in history, congressional race in history. And now the GOP is trying to tie Ossoff, John Ossoff, to Nancy Pelosi, Jane Fonda, and Kathy Griffin. How are they doing that?
Well, they've been running ads and dropping mail pieces and door knockers that basically say if you elect John Ossoff, you're electing another vote for Nancy Pelosi. The Republicans have found Nancy Pelosi to be the biggest motivator they have in terms of trying to get their voters out, especially in a special election scenario where turnout can be uncertain. Now, look, this race has become a whole new animal because there's so much attention. The advertising is so heavy that it's not like anybody down there, and I found this when I was down there, everybody knows that today, that tomorrow is election day for this race. So it's not going to be the usual sleepy election, special election that most people aren't paying attention to. They're all paying attention to it. And look, I mean, it's a close race, and so as an extra motivator to those lower propensity voters who will vote Republican if they actually show up, Republicans have been digging deep and trying to basically, you know, push them to the voting booth by tying them to Kathy Griffin, who obviously got into trouble for that tweet in which she was holding a replica of Trump's severed head. Jane Fonda was an interesting one to me. She's a long-time old standby bogeyman for Republicans trying to scare up votes. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. But the Republicans are you know, doing everything they can, again, to get those lower propensity voters out because there are more Republican votes to be had generally speaking, than there are Democratic votes in that district if they can get enough of them to show up.
It would be nice if the Republicans showed the same fervor in defending their commander in chief, their leader, Donald Trump.
I want to ask you about this Ossoff race because of how expensive it is. Mary mentioned that price point. The fact that John Ossoff, based on New York Times numbers, has raised over $23 million for a House race versus Karen Handel's $4 million or so, that's just unbelievable figures. And I got to believe that people look at that and they're like, look, this is a close race, but the corrupting influence of that much money in politics is kind of out of control, no?
Well, look, everybody has an opinion about money in politics. Usually people that feel they're being outspent think it's corrupting. And unless you want to clamp down further on free speech and people's ability to give money to candidates they believe in, there's not much that's going to be done about it. The reason so much money was raised in this race by John Ossoff is because you have liberal activists all over the country who are limited by how much they can give. I mean, they can only give $2,500 in total to Ossoff at a clip. They gave because they're motivated to try and send a message to the president. It's what's interesting is that I still think he ends up losing at the end of the day, despite all the money he spent. And it's unclear that he would be this competitive if not for the fact that he had spent all this money. And look, next year, Democrats are not going to be able to spend $25 million on every race. So it's going to be a much different environment. But, you know, money in politics, this is just the way it works. And it's really been for Democrats. And this is one thing. They may lose the race, but I think one thing is true. They definitely are motivated. They definitely have energy because the reason they're giving to this guy is because it's the only game in town and they really want to try and impact this race and send a message to the Republicans.
And he can't even vote for himself because he doesn't live in the district, which is amazing to me. And
yes,
yet he's,
that's correct.
Depending on the polls, he's leading. They're going to vote for someone who doesn't even live in the area he's going to represent.
Well, my point is it just took a lot of money to get there. That's all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just very quickly wanted to touch on another story that's in the Washington Examiner about whether or not President Trump is under investigation. According to the story that is here is that special counsel Robert Mueller hasn't decided whether to investigate President Trump. You've got Pierre Thomas from ABC News saying that plans to talk to someone in the my sources are telling me he's begun some preliminary planning with plans to talk to some people in the administration, but he's not yet made that decision, which now that counteracts the story that was in the Washington Post that said, absolutely, President Trump is now under investigation for obstruction. So which one do we believe?
Right. This whole thing, and then that's why I think, by the way, that I think Trump would be in a much better position if just talking about this.
I'm with you.
Focused on his own agenda. It would make it easier for Republicans to help him, and it would make it easier for him to help himself. A lot of the discussion over the past 4 days about the issue of obstruction is based on the fact the president, throughout the week last week, kept tweeting about it. And so instead of tweeting about the various pieces of his legislative agenda, his policy agenda, he's tweeted about this in some fashion or another, whether it's the pushback on the investigators or whether it's the pushback on the media. And as satisfying and cathartic as this can be to a lot of his supporters, I think at the end of the day, because he's the president, it doesn't really serve him. I also think he's missing an opportunity to support the idea of investigating Russian meddling, because there is a case to be made that there was Russian meddling. The intelligence services believe there was Russian meddling. Nobody's really said that Trump colluded, but Trump seems to take the investigation in and of itself as an affront to his victory in November, and he seems to equate the two in many ways more than a lot of other people. And so I think given his impact on the news cycle by what he says, and he's the president of the United States, so that would happen absent all the tweeting, I think he could actually direct the coverage in a different way if he would allow himself to do so. I doubt he will.
All right. Well, David Drucker, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time and discussing the ins and outs and the happenings in Washington, D.C. Have a great week, and thank you.
Thanks a lot.